Last week, I had the privilege of standing here and introducing our vision statement to you. It's a topic that's so important for us as a church family and for us individually that I want to share a few additional thoughts this morning before Jonathan comes. Our vision statement will be on the screen behind me. Our vision is the Maryville Church of Christ. We can go to that slide, please. Our vision is the Maryville Church of Christ, as you can see there, to make and mature disciples of Jesus who connect, grow, serve, and share with each other and the community. We talked about that last week. We also talked about the fact that this vision is the result of work, your shepherds, your ministers, coming together, much time spent and in prayer over the course of several months to have this statement that we can share at this time. It's a statement that we're excited about. We're excited about what it means to us, and also we're excited where God is leading us as we think about the future. As stated last week, our goal in this effort is to glorify God. Period. This isn't about men. This isn't about a program or a slogan. We're working with this vision to glorify God and ask His blessings as we work to lift Him up in this place. Our vision simply states a forward-looking plan for the family here in Maryville that helps each one of us understand how we fulfill our mission. We spoke about our mission statement last week, and we know that mission doesn't change. There's three key components of our mission. We know from that statement, and you see it weekly in our bulletins, that the statement, our mission statement, clearly says, go, make disciples. It says that we want to encourage growth, and also that we want to hold to the word of God. And those instructions are clear. Jesus provided us that instruction in Matthew 28. Again, that doesn't change. The vision statement that we have, as said last week, is simple, and that's by design. It's action-oriented. It should be memorable. It should be inspiring. And truly be a focus on how we can continue on our paths individually and collectively as a body as we work on our relationship with God. It's how we live. And even though the phrase is short, it's meaningful and impactful. It represents our desire to be obedient believers, striving to mature as disciples. The reference to Ephesians 4. It represents our desire to grow into the likeness of Christ as a body and as individuals. It represents our desire to follow New Testament truths so that we can demonstrate the love of Jesus in what we do. John 14, 21 helps us understand that. And it's a phrase that, as I mentioned before, should be memorable. Something that we could recite to others. Something that is impactful on our lives. But as we talk with others outside of this body, when asked, what does the Maryville Church mean? It helps provide a focus. All in all, it represents an encompassing way of life as a disciple of Jesus. No matter our age. As we communicate the vision, a logo was selected. A logo is just simply that visual way that we can glance at something and the words come to mind. That's the intent here. You've seen it on several things over the last few weeks. Hopefully the words come to mind as you see that logo. Those four words are portrayed in that circular fashion. That circular fashion should bring to mind movement, growth, and activity. A continual movement, growth and a continual focus on the activity going on to mature and to grow. Connect, grow, serve, and share are represented clearly in that icon. And it's truly the core of who we are. We hear a lot about DNA. Well, we know that phrase. It's in the news more than ever before, and science has advanced, and that's a wonderful thing. But DNA is simply a molecule that contains most of the genetics used in development, functioning, and reproduction. It stores biological information in a molecule. So our challenge here as we move forward is to think about connecting, growing, serving, and sharing as the DNA of a disciple. The DNA of a disciple. As we think about last week and the activities of the day, we had our small group discussions, and we challenged and asked for feedback in those discussions on this topic. That feedback is valuable, and we so appreciate it. And it's truly the purpose of a small group setting is to help share and understand meanings and to encourage each other to grow. I want to share a few of the comments that came from last week's meetings. First, the information that we've shared over these last few weeks has contained the phrase Vision 2020. There's been a questions asked about that. I just want to point out to you that that phrase was chosen to indicate the importance and the longevity of what we're talking about. The importance and the longevity of the discipleship's path. This is not meant to be a program you're going to hear about for a few weeks or a month and go away. It's a way of life. It's what we are. It's who we are. The use of 2020 provides that emphasis on our commitment for growth. It's wonderful and exciting to think about 2020 vision without needing these corrective lenses and to have this perfect vision. But while on earth and among men, we're going to leave all things related to perfection to God. That's not for us. So 2020 helps us understand the importance and the longevity of this growth process on a discipleship path. Another question was asked, how can I be active in all four of these areas? Well, I think that's a great question, and I think future discussions and lessons will help us more clearly see that. But this morning, I just offer to you that how you use the gifts that God has blessed you with can be applied to all areas. How you use your gifts can be applied to all areas. For example, you may not physically be able to do something that's service related or participate in a project. But if you have the gift of boldness in prayer, of support, if you are an encourager to those on that project and they know it, you've participated in that core value.
That's right, man.
Two other comments were made along these lines. Sharing is the most challenging of the four. I know that comment came out of a lot of the notes. Another one said, I want to be led. Those are two great statements. And yes, sharing can be challenging. We're not all trained ministers, missionaries, but we're all trained in the Word. And we can share. Keep this in mind. Sharing is a trait of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And we should exemplify that trait. We're going to learn more and have lessons on sharing. But there's many ways that you can participate in sharing. And I would challenge you to be praying over that. Because including your... If you think about the time you participate in prayer with a friend who's struggling, and you're working with that friend you're sharing Jesus in that setting, even if it's just a face-to-face setting. You're sharing. And those are the things that we'll continue to build upon as we learn more about sharing. We know that being led is important. We know that there are challenges. Your shepherds are very much aware of that. And I would ask that you continue to pray on that topic. But I also bring to mind the fact that each and every one of us has influence on someone else. As Herb mentioned this morning in introducing the song, the little eyes are watching. And it's not just the little eyes, but it's the adult eyes that watch us wherever we go and whatever we do. We're leading and we may not be realizing it. So as we focus on leading, we'll talk again in future lessons about that, but every member has influence. And I pray that as we study each of these core values more, we'll see the path that we're being led on. And as we allow the kingdom of God to grow in our hearts, confidence will grow to help us share and to lead. As we try to understand the first word of the four, connect, today, our 21st century technology is just amazing. And we are so connected, whether it's through an Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or LinkedIn or Facebook, you name it, and sure, another will come up. Technology is advancing where we can think we're connected. However, we were designed for a much different connection. I love the words of Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. We were designed by God with a connection to him, a longing for a connection. And that doesn't start with the latest technology. Just as our physical bodies have many members, it's the head that directs all the activities that go on in our body. So it is with the church. Christ, as we know from many passages, including 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is the head of the church. And the church is made up of many members. So with Christ as the head of the church, he's connected and he's directing the church. And family, that's us. We are the body. So we're the body of Christ, and we're connected vertically to Jesus Christ. We're connected horizontally to each other. That's the essence of our first word, connection. A solid connection with God must be the first step on this path. I'd ask you to consider this as I close. When Jesus left the earth, he left you and me here to represent him and to be his church. When he wants to touch something, he wants to use our hands. When he wants to say something, he wants to use our voices. When he wants to go somewhere, he wants to use our feet. Our hands, our voices, our feet, and our hearts form a connection with Jesus and with one another that helps others see Christ. Jonathan?
Thanks, Randy. Really appreciate the fact that the elders have seen fit to be able to share with you each week the purpose of this discipleship path that we are embarking upon as a church. And I'm happy to have the opportunity to somewhat team preach with Randy throughout this rollout of this series together. I probably will not use my slides this morning. I'm going to deviate just a little bit from what I had prepared and just kind of talk to you a little bit about the importance of this connection step in our discipleship path. I think the way that I would start this morning is to just share with you that I have personally felt under spiritual attack this week. really wrestled a lot with my own personal sinfulness this week. And you know, whenever you go through that kind of struggle and wrestling with your own fallen nature and the things that you're prone to that are unchristlike, the shame and the guilt of that causes you to somewhat, in a spiritual sense, droop your head. And so I find so much encouragement from the song that Herb led for us this morning as we've worshiped together. That second one, that the Lord is a shield about us. Did you hear in that song? He's the lifter of our heads. Because as we're trying our best as people of faith, you and me, to follow after Jesus, sometimes we do stumble on the pathway, and sometimes our heads droop out of shame and struggle because we're not everything that we know we ought to be. And the Lord is there to lift our heads. The Lord is there to encourage us and to help us and to whisper in our ear to get up and to keep going, to keep pressing on, to keep traveling down the disciples' path, the path of following after the beautiful example of Jesus. And God has gifted us to help us in that pursuit. I think about the passage in Jeremiah 17 that we talked about in our Bible class this morning, how that the heart is desperately sick. Each one of us are desperately in a condition of spiritual fallenness. And no matter how much we try on our own, we can't seem to overcome that. I've had conversations with many of you over the last few weeks and months, and I know the faces of some of you in here that are struggling with many things in life, and some of you with your own sinfulness. And you know the struggle of trying to overcome that on your own and falling down so many times. And I want to say this morning that God's Word says to me and it says to you that the only way that we can overcome that is through the power of connection. Because first and foremost, the only thing that can have the power to heal our brokenness is an injection of the holiness of God within our hearts. And that's been God's plan all along. God's plan all along has been to inject His own Spirit, His own holiness within our hearts, to gift us with His holy presence, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us to help us to overcome our own heart sickness. And so we desperately need to encourage a connection, a daily connection with God. And that begins with salvation, by accepting that free gift of grace in God's presence that He's gifted to us. And the way you do that is each one of us has to make the choice to take up the cross of discipleship daily. To make the choice every day to realize that this Christian discipleship walk is not a sprint, it's a marathon, it's a distance run. And so we have to keep going by loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and dedicating our full self to Him. He's gifted His presence within us to help us to continue down that path. But I've become very convicted this week, not only of my need for connection with God, but my connection with other believers. Because sometimes we get into this frame of mind where we think somehow that my Christian life is just between me and God, and somehow I can just get through it alone. And such couldn't be further from the truth. Because you see, on this discipleship path, we're all walking it together, and we need to lean on each other and help each other. The Bible would say, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. And we need that along the way. I want to show you a brief video clip now that's going to continue the story that we started last week of Rocket Jones. He's a 65-year-old ultra runner who has continued to press on in his desire to want to run along the path. And I think it provides for us a beautiful illustration of how not only each one of us are engaged in a personal walk of discipleship in following Jesus, but as we run that path, we really do need each other.
Hi, you've reached Errol the Rocket Jones. Please leave a message of sorts after the beep. And again, wait for the tone before you leave your message.
More than just a sport, it's kind of a way of life. And if you can do it, you're a part of the family.
Rocket's friend talks about in that video, he talks about how that one day he ran into Rocket on the trail and he had bumped into him several times and it occurred to him, maybe I should know you because we're running the same trail together. Maybe we should know each other, really know each other as we're walking down this path of being a disciple of Jesus. There should be a camaraderie. There should be a connection as we take this path together. You see, following Jesus is a way of life. And each one of us is a part of the family. And we need to help each other along the pathway of discipleship. I hope that you can see, and I appreciate what Randy said, because I think he's helping to crystallize in our minds and clarify in our minds what this is all about. This is not just some kind of passing fad or terminology or program that we're introducing. What the elders and the ministers are trying to do for us as a church is to really give some clarity to what are we trying to do here? Jesus said that our goal is to go and make disciples. We're in the business of disciple making. That means I need to be committed to maturing and developing in my own spiritual walk to be more made into a disciple every day myself and take that very seriously and personally and be committed to it. But also, we're together collectively on that mission to help each other and to help those that don't know Jesus yet to be made into a disciple too. You see, what does a disciple look like? What is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple is someone who's made the decision to choose a very deliberate way of living. And that way of living was demonstrated by Jesus in technicolor, in flesh and blood. He lived it out right before us. And it doesn't take very long for you to read through the accounts of the life of Jesus in the Gospels to see what kind of life he lived and what we're called to live too. And as ministers and elders, we've been studying that over the course of several months. And what we've found is, if you boil all that down, you look at the life of Jesus, what you see is you see a man who was connected. He was connected to his heavenly Father and connected to other people. He had spiritual friendships. He didn't even the Son of God didn't live out his faith in isolation. We see a person that grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. He was dedicated to growth. Even the Son of God was. And you and I must be dedicated to it as well. Growing not only in our knowledge of who God is and what His expectations are, the reality, the truth of God, but allowing that truth to not just settle in our minds, but to inform the way we live, to live out a Spirit-filled life. And when we look at Jesus, what we see is we see someone that was dedicated to being not inward focused, but outward focused. And he served. He washed his disciples' feet. Everything he did as he lived his life was dedicated to us. He didn't consider his own interest, but he considered the interest of everybody else. And we're called to that too. Every one of us as disciples, if you're serious about following Jesus, we must be committed to serving those that are close to us and those even that are in our communities around us too. And then when you look at Jesus, what you see is a person who is dedicated to sharing that marvelous message, that life-changing message, with people both near and far. Yes, Jesus came to the lost house of the sheep of Israel, the insiders, those close to him. But you look at the life of Jesus, and his behavior demonstrates that he also reached out to those that were far distance and paved the way for the commission for all of us to make disciples of all the nations. So what are we saying? We're saying you look at Jesus, you see somebody who connected, you see somebody who was growing, you see somebody who served, and you see somebody who shared. And when we are following Jesus, if we're serious about walking down this pathway, every one of us must be called to this too. Now, as Randy mentioned, all of us have different gifts. And so the way in which we live that out might look different for all of us. But all of us, if we're serious about being disciples, need to connect, grow, serve, and share. And that's who we are. That's what it means to be Jesus' followers. And that's what we're committed to. And refocusing on and clarifying as a gathering of people. And that's something that you got to be committed to individually. But we want you to know as leaders, as elders, and as ministers, that we are committed to doing everything we can as a church to help provide the best venues, the best environments, the best atmospheres to encourage that, the best opportunities and tools and resources to help you in your personal discipleship growth as we're connected to God and connected to each other. I want to say that connection is core. There's a very intentional reason why we put connect at the beginning of the discipleship pathway. Because that's where it all starts. It's the foundation for everything else. Because think about it. What did Jesus come to teach? He came to teach the importance of love. And it all starts with love. Because if your heart is not caught up and ravaged by and in a divine romance with God, if you don't love Him with everything you are and have a love for other people, then you're not really probably going to be motivated to grow very much in your spirituality. You're certainly not going to have the drive to want to be outward focused and serve other people or share a message that really has not really impacted your life. So it all starts with connect. Connection is at the core. It is the foundation of it all. And Jesus tells us that. On one occasion, there was an individual that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, and he said, "Master, what's the most important thing? What's the foundation of it all?" And Jesus told him, "It's connection. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself." What is that? That is connection to God and connection to other people. That's what it's all about. Christianity is a religion that is far unique from all the other religions of the world because the focus of Christianity, of true discipleship, is all about relationships. Relationship with God and relationships with other people. It's all about connection. And we must all individually be committed to that. And we must, as a church, be devoted to it. And that's why we see connect as the first part of our discipleship pathway. Most people come to church looking for connection. I want you to imagine for a second that you travel to a distant city. Some of you know this all too well. You travel to a distant city where you don't know a soul. You don't know anybody. I just would bet you anything that if you're a person of faith, I can tell you the first thing you're going to do. You're going to be looking for a place where you can get plugged in and be connected in your faith walk in connection with God. And you're going to be looking for a place where you can build relationships with other believers. You see, it starts right there. As a person of faith, we're looking for those two things, for connection with God and connection for others, with others. And we want to be known as a people who are committed to that kind of connection. And that's how we're going to be contagious and make a difference in our community and in the world, because we must be a people who first focus on the importance of connection. Jesus would say so much. He says, "You want to know how the world's going to know that you are truly my disciples? if you have love one for another. John chapter 13 and verse 35. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, the world's watching. And they're going to know who my true followers are by looking at a group of people that are really connected to each other in a deep spiritual way. But you know what else? Connection is not just about connecting to one another. It's also the importance of each one of us individually being connected to God. And we see that also in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 25, the Bible talks about a gathering of Christians in Corinth gathered together. And they're worshiping and praising God. And Paul says, an unbeliever will come in your assembly, and he will see the power of your connection with God, and he will fall on his face and say, God is among these people. Connection with God is going to be a defining characteristic that is going to attract people to be a part of God's family. So as I close, let me say that when we talk about the discipleship's pathway, when we talk about the importance first of connect, you have a personal obligation. And I have one too. That each one of us needs to be personally committed to connection with God in our personal private worship, in our personal devotional, in our commitment to Bible study and prayer. Each one of us needs to be maturing every day in our connection with God personally. And also, each one of us needs to be committed to the investing in the importance of not trying to do that alone, but being committed to connecting and building lasting, deep, real, spiritual relationships with each other so that we're running down that trail together because we're a family. So there's an individual commitment. And as a church, we are committed as a leadership that as we move forward in this vision, this is not a short-term vision, this is a long-term vision, and it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some prayer, and it's going to take some patience, and it's going to take your help. As we progress forward, as we move forward in the years, the months and years to come, we're going to be doing everything we can to provide the best avenues to encourage and to nurture your personal discipleship and your personal connection with God through your relationship with Him and energizing that relationship through worship. And then we're going to try to provide the best opportunities we can for fellowship and real connection with each other. And we're committed to it. The pathway of discipleship starts with connection. We're connected to God through our salvation. We're connected to Him through our worship and praise to Him. But there's one thing that is true about this connection. We're in this thing together. And we need to stay on the path together. And when one of us stumbles and falls, and when one of us we see is hanging his head, we need to be there like our God is there for us and be the lifter of one another's heads. And to encourage each other, keep running. Let's keep going down the path. We need each other. Let's encourage each other to be connected to God and to one another. Let's pray. Our Father, we need your help every day. We are grateful that you have invited us into a deep, connected relationship with you. And sometimes, Father, we don't always devote ourselves to it. And we ask your forgiveness. And we need your help to be reinvigorated, that you would restore unto us the joy of our salvation and our commitment to connection with you. And help us, Father, to encourage each other, even beginning today in our small group discussions, to help each other to be connected in our walks with one another down that path. We need your love. We need your grace. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?